We asked some of the producers of these shows, because they don't happen without the great producers, to come in and join us as we get ready to hear those other people. Let's just do a little roll call here. Randy Eccles, sign in, please. Hello, Randy.
Good morning, John Williams. Or, we're still in the morning here. Good to be here.
Former producer of Kathy and Judy. Audrey Clark, are you there?
Here.
Hi, Audrey. How are you?
Great. Thanks,
John. How about that? Bob Collins, legendary producer. Kurt Vanderaa, who also produced Kathy and Judy. Hey, Quake.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Really good. And Tracy Weiner, who produced Spike Odell. Tracy.
Hi, John.
And Beth Swerk, who produced Kathy and Judy and me and is the producer nearest and dearest to me. Beth.
Hi, John.
Oh, man. That's the way it goes sometimes.
So
Beth is probably, I know Beth's running a little late today. She's probably got bugs in, or she's in her car, and she's
making
screaming. Oh, that's funny. Well, thanks for coming in, guys. So I don't know how to exactly do this. Audrey, we haven't heard from you in a while. Welcome back to the studios. When's the last time you were on the air doing something GN-ish?
I think the last time was with Bob.
How about that? Really? You know, just so many Bob Collins memories as we've been doing this the last couple of weeks. What was it like working with Bob Collins, Audrey?
It was great. I absolutely loved it. You know, of course, some days were better than others. But, you know, Bob, I grew up with Bob. He taught me how to make coffee.
How old were you when you started as his producer?
24, maybe?
Can you imagine being a 24-year-old? I mean, you really had to, how do you, as a producer, 24 years old, and you've got this legendary, outsized personality, Bob Collins, how do you produce him or that, right?
Should ask for a raise.
You have to be brave,
yeah.
Right? You have to be willing to go in and kind of get in his face and say, here's what I think you need to do. And Bob, to his credit, would sometimes say absolutely not, and other times, you know, one of the last memories I have of Bob was we were doing something and I was in his face and I was saying, oh, you need to do this, I can get the person on the phone right now, and he didn't do it. And the next morning he came in and he said, you know what I heard on the radio? I said, yes, you heard the story I wanted you to do, because everybody was talking about it. He said, well, if that ever happens again, you have my permission to tell me to take my head out of my rear end and, you know, get with the program. And unfortunately, I never got to do that.
Well, Bob was right a lot. But no, I think that's the thing. A good host has to empower the producer that way, too. So I guess that's the challenge for all of you guys, right? I mean, Kurt, if Bob was an outsized personality, what were Kathy and Judy? Randy, you could chime in on that.
Trying to figure out how to work with two is interesting, and but we figured it out, and they were great. They helped us, but they're completely different people.
Right? Why do you say that? Like, what do you mean? I guess they're different people, right? I think of them as sort of this unit, though, as well.
They have incredible chemistry, and I think I was their first full-time producer, and that was one of the tasks early on. When the show first started, there were basically half-hour interviews happening, and it wasn't really showing what they were really good at, which was that interaction with each other and the callers. And I think one day there was an interview that fell through, and they just had to fill time. And so we started taking calls, and you could just hear that chemistry start kicking in that way. And it grew and it grew, and then Kurt came in and just grew it even higher with them.
That was the easy part. Randy had laid the groundwork for, hey, this is a conversation, this is what we do. And so it was Kathy and Judy and the callers, and it was a three entity show.
So how would you organize that, Kurt? I mean, before the show, would you guys all sit there and talk about what they were going to talk about? Because their show seems so unscripted.
It was very unscripted. I don't know if Bertrand could jump in, but we'd hang out in the office for an hour ahead of time and start to have conversations amongst ourselves. And then somebody would say, normally it would be me, I think, but would say, save it for the radio, save it for the show. And then we'd go in and we'd be following Audrey and Bob. And I knew Audrey had this system drawn up. Okay, at 5:10, we're going to do this. At 5:20, we're going to do this. And we said, okay, between 9 and noon, we're going to do something. And then we'd find out what that was about noon.
The sessions in the office before the show were...
Well, that's the save it for the air thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, thank goodness we didn't for a lot of it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they used to have their files with all kinds of different articles before the internet that they'd pull out of magazines and everything, but you never knew if any of those were going to come up or which one.
Yeah, well, some of the great moments on their shows, and I guess it was true for Spike and Bob and everybody, was when something just unscripted and spontaneous would happen, and then you'd go with that. Do any of you have something like that where you said, boy, I just remember the day this happened, and we went there, and it was one of my classic WGN memories?
I feel like that happened a lot at Spike's show. I don't know. All of a sudden, we're throwing a cell phone down a toilet to listen to the swoosh. I mean, that wasn't scripted, and that wasn't pre-planned. It just sort of happened, and we went with it. And that was kind of the beauty of Spike. I am like the OCD producer, you know, with a lineup of the articles and stories and interviews that we had to have set up. And I would hand it to him, and Spike, bless his heart, he would look at it, and he'd be like, yeah, okay. And he'd set it, and I could literally see him set it aside.
Mentally putting it away.
He didn't mentally. He literally took the pieces of paper and would like set it aside and be like, you know, let's just roll with it. And all of a sudden, you know, magic would happen. It was really awesome.
Well, do you think Trace...
I was just going to say, I think the beauty of all of it was that most of the conversations were just about life. Like what we talked about for the hour before the show was what happened to us and what was happening to the listeners. And that was the beauty of every single host. If you were walking through the hallways before or after the show, you heard the radio. You heard what they were talking about. And that's, I think, the magic of every single one of their shows. It was authentic. It was them. It was what you would hear around the dinner table. And that was just a really cool place to be. I remember when I first started, my parents came in and they got to meet everybody who, I mean, talk about their Hall of Fame, right? So it was when Friends was really big and that was my life. And I remember my dad looking me in the eye and going, you don't understand. This is like meeting the cast of Friends. This is so awesome. And it was, they were our friends, they were our family, and how lucky that the five of us got to be a part of that, for sure.
Would you all agree that the cast of people that you all worked with, people I'll bet came up to you and said, what are they like in real life? What are they like in person? And they were in person like they were on the radio. Was that true for all of you?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
think
so.
You can't keep that up. You could never keep it up.
Well, and it's one of the things I learned about radio was that the folks at GN were all themselves. They were all authentic, as Beth was saying. And at other stations, it seems sometimes there are people who are playing personalities or characters, and it's hard to maintain that and be real. But
I agree.
At GN, that authenticness made connection all the time.
But that was probably as hard for Audrey then as anybody, right? Because Bob was gruff. He was lovable and he was unpredictable, but he was, you know, it was his way or the highway a little bit too. At least that's kind of how I remember it, Audrey. Did you get that feeling at times?
Well, certainly at times. But one of the things that was great about Bob was, and the listeners know this as well, when he was wrong, he would admit he was wrong. And it didn't always take him to the next day to figure that out. He could figure that out quickly. Huh. And so he could be gruff, but he was also a giant teddy bear.
He was a giant teddy bear.
And you just, you loved him. I mean, he was just fantastic.
But, can I tell you one of my Bob Collins memories? It's real short, but it was where he had somebody on, a representative from the cable company or the phone company, and there was some new service that they were providing that they didn't tell people about, and a lot of people didn't like it. And there was Bob kind of doing this informational, you know, friendly interview. And then you could feel Bob getting hostile. He was getting ticked off at this thing for all of us. And I was kind of cheering him on, going, yeah, give it to him, give it to him, give it to him. And Bob was just kind of reaming the guy out because, you know, it dawned on him that this was kind of a lousy thing. And he was like the advocate for everybody in radio land. And I don't know why that sticks out in my mind, but I remember Bob kind of giving it to that guy.
Well, wasn't that part of the magic? I mean, he could talk to anybody, and he wasn't, I mean, I don't think rough is the right word, but he certainly wasn't afraid of confrontation or calling something out when something wasn't right. And
I guess that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, Kurt.
Absolutely. Well, in a similar way, at any staff meeting on the inside, Bob would be the first one to ask the question. You have format change, somebody's gone around, whatever it was, Bob would ask that first question and really drill it right to whoever it was.
Yep. Yeah. Well, Mary June Rose, or Mary Fern, as he used to call her, right? Really, you talked, Steve Bertrand, about how you should see the shows that we did before we went on the air. You should have been to the staff meetings with Bob Collins, Spike Odell, Kathy and Judy, you know, Steve and Johnny. Wow, Those were memorable. It's 11:18. I'm John Williams. I'm talking to the producers of some of the people whose names are being enshrined outside the building. Randy Eccles is here, formerly producing Kathy and Judy, as well as Beth and Kurt. And Audrey Clark produced Bob Collins for so many years. And Tracy Weiner was Spike Odell's beloved producer. We'll finish this conversation and then get to that after this on GN. I'm John Williams. I'm watching my clock. It's 11:23. Guys, we got to be done at 11:27. I'm talking to the producers of Spike and Kathy and Judy and the Bob Collins Show over the years. Audrey, what are you doing these days? You used to produce Bob Collins.
I am working in consulting, management consulting, and I specifically help companies develop new businesses.
Anything you want to mention as we walk out the door and be part of the ceremony, Audrey?
I think one of the things for me as I look around and I meet people on Pioneer Court that I haven't seen in ages was we always talked about it being a family, mm-hmm. and it really wasn't talk. Mm-hmm. These are friendships and memories that I will have an entire lifetime.
Agreed.
Nice thing about you guys, I know this, is that many of the producers over the years still get together as friends. It's really nice. In fact, sometimes they text me photos of their get-togethers when I'm in Europe, and then I get a texting bill for $50
for
a picture of Tracy holding up a cocktail.
I'm sorry.
So that's great. That's great. How about you, Tracy? Just speaking of that, what are you doing these days, Tracy?
I'm a mom of two kids, an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, so I'm pretty busy.
What's the one thing you want to say, Trace?
I'm so pleased to be here, and literally, these are lifelong friends, and it's like taking me back to a time that was a great time in my life, and I'm so proud of everyone that's being inducted.
Yeah. I just couldn't agree with you more on that. And then what about Team Kathy and Judy with Kurt Vanderaa, Beth Swerk, and Randy Eccles? Randy, you start. What are you doing these days?
I'm the general manager of the public radio station down in Springfield and also the publisher of Illinois Issues, public policy magazine.
What do you want to say, Randy?
I think as I look around, the thing is, and you were saying this earlier, you were an intern, and I think all these producers here mm-hmm. were all
yep.
interns. So what an incredible internship program. And they were often so much more qualified than other people who were coming from outside who had experience to do the GN thing. And it's really a proud thing. I hope the internship program is still kicking.
Yeah.
What are you doing these days, Kurt Vanderaa?
I work with an organization called socialmedia.org and help big businesses connect through social media.
Huh. Boy, you guys have all found really interesting, and you can just see the dots all connecting with your work. Tracy, I know you still work in media in a variety of ways, too. What do you want to say, Kurt?
I love this place. I love these people. We've seen some of the folks who have, some of the other behind-the-scenes folks or on-air people who are gathering for the event, and it's just, I'm proud. I'm proud to have been a part of all this and humbled to have been a part of all this. This is really exciting. Spend time with people we love.
My speech about radio, I'm coming to you, Beth, is that a show is as good as its producer, and when it's bad, it's as lousy as its host. And we've just been so lucky to have people like you. What are you doing these days, Beth?
I'm in public relations, the other end of the email. Payback's a bitch.
Yeah, how do you like being on that end now, Beth? Instead of taking the call, you're placing the call. Wow.
No.
So what do you want to say, Beth Swerk?
I mean, we just all grew up here, and what a cool place for that to happen. The environment was always a team. The hosts were always respectful. Producers got to have a place, and how lucky for all of us to... I met my best friend here, my brother, my two radio moms. It's just been such an amazing part of my life, of all of our lives.
And I have worked around or with a lot of you. I mean, I really have, and it's been fun to... honor Bob and Spike and Kathy and Judy and Roy and Wally and all of that. And they're all deserving. But really, those shows were all team efforts. And so congratulations to you guys. I mean, really, those are your guys. Those are your names out there on the concrete as well. So
hey,
how about a round
hey,
of applause?
Hey, John, we're all twitching. You need to break.
For the producers. Round of applause for the producers. It's 11:27. No, I got till 11:27, Beth. I've got 3, 2, 1 seconds.